Can we give Jesus a mighty shout of praise? What a wonderful Savior. What a mighty God we serve. I said, what a mighty God we serve. He's a miracle worker. He's a miracle working God. That same Jesus is here right now. And he's no respecter of persons. Can you give him just one more praise in this place? You know, just a little bit of background. One day I was on a flight and the flight attendant kind of knelt down next to me and kind of said to me, "Are you that evangelist?" I'm like, "It depends which one you're talking about." She said, "No, I need to tell you my testimony." She said, "In Mobile, that used to be my hub." And she said, "Once a month, Delia Knox would take a flight from Mobile into Texas." And she said, "It was my job. We got to know the family really well. And we would carry Delia from the chair and put her onto the flight." But she said, "One day I saw a woman walking towards me in high heel stiletto shoes." By the way, Delia would hang those stiletto shoes on the Christmas tree as an act of faith. Her husband used to buy her those high heel shoes. And she said, "One day I saw a woman walking towards me in high heel shoes. And I said, that looks so much like Delia Knox, but it could not be." She said, "It was." And I knew straight away that Jesus was real. "I gave my life. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm saved. I just want to thank God for what God is doing in your life." And I said, "That is the greatest testimony I could ever hear." Come on, give Jesus some praise this morning. I have a word burning on my heart. I am going to preach the word of God, and then we're going to let the Holy Spirit just, if anybody's hungry in this place, then I believe the power of God is going to fall this morning. You know, we're living in an hour that Jesus prophesied when he said that we would hear of wars and rumors of wars, that nation would rise against nation, that there would be famine and pestilence in various places. Jesus said that all these things are the beginning of sorrows. I want to tell you what Jesus said in Matthew 24, what he said in Luke 21 is still the greatest, most relevant, most up-to-date headlines you could ever read, more than Fox News, more than CNN. If you would pick up your Bible, you would realize that this is a moment that Jesus already told you. He said, "Don't be afraid, do not be troubled." He said, "When you see these signs take place," he said, "look up." He said, "Fix your eyes on me, for your redemption draws near." But he didn't leave us in that place. He said, "But this gospel shall be preached." In other words, that before the end comes, before Jesus returns, this gospel shall be preached. And I want to tell you, Alvin, before Jesus returns, this gospel shall be preached in Jesus' mighty name. I do need to warn you, I am a shouter. I think I was made for the Crusades. I don't even need a microphone this morning. They say that teachers tell it and preachers yell it. Well, you know which one I am, I think. I hope you don't mind. Is that okay? I want you to turn with your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 1 through 9. Over the last 16 months, I have preached to 3.8 million people face to face. The video you just watched was not years, it was a matter of months. We just saw millions of people in the nation of Nicaragua, a communist country, where God has opened the door. How many know that the Bible says that when God opens a door, no man will close it? We're living in a season and an hour where you're seeing great unrest. You're seeing great unrest in the world. But know this, that at the same time, the light of God's glory is shining in the nations. Doors that have been closed to the gospel for literally generations are opening. Right now, Nicaragua was but a taste. We saw 2/3 of the entire country moved as some nights over 380,000 would be in one night, standing in a nation that have denied the gospel, that have closed down the preaching of the gospel. God opened a door for a window of time. And we have a window of time right now. We're about to go into Venezuela, a nation that has been closed. But God is about to shake Venezuela with the power of the gospel of Christ. We are living in that time. And I want to tell you, look, this was Nicaragua. Just put that back up. This is not years. This is just a matter of a few months. Every city, every region, there would be thousands in the streets. There would be we'd have to put television screens along the highways just so that people could hear and see the gospel. We are living in an hour where the devil has tried to close the door, but God is now opening that door. And I'm telling you right now, listen to me. In the month of April the 11th, we're going to preach in the LA Coliseum, that 100,000 seater. I'm believing for a mighty harvest of souls. Why? Because California, right where the enemy thinks that he has a stronghold, God is about to shake California. America shall be saved. I'm telling you right now, God has not forgotten America. He has not forgotten America. And hell has been fighting over this generation. But I tell you in Jesus' name, this gospel shall be preached. Give him praise in this house. I said, Lord, what do you want me to preach this morning? What do you want me to preach to your precious people? And the Lord laid this scripture on my heart. So I want you to go to Luke chapter 5. And it says, so it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them, and they were washing their nets. Then he, that is Jesus, got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, I love that. Could you say that? Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. I want that kind of harvest. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Father, bless your word. Speak to us. Bring revelation in Jesus' mighty name. Spirit of God, I pray this morning that this will be like the upper room. Let your fire fall on the altar of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach to you just for a few moments on something that God laid in my heart. The deep cries out. The deep cries out. I don't know whether you know this morning, but you have been called for such a time as this. There is nobody in the presence of God this morning that is irrelevant. In fact, I thank God for the great men and women of God, the heroes of the faith. But guess what? They run their race. We can point to them and say how God used that generation or used that man or used that woman. But the truth is this, they have run their race. They've been prepared to glory. And somehow, some way, God chose you for such a time as this. He chose you. In fact, the Bible says that he called you even before you were in your mother's womb. You see, we serve a God of eternity. When he speaks from eternity into time. He is eternal. He is without measure. He is all powerful. He is sovereign. There is no one like him. And when he speaks from eternity into time. That's why, have you ever read the scripture when it says that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world? In the natural, that is impossible. How could the Lamb be slain before God said, "Let there be light"? Then to understand the scripture, you have to ask the Holy Spirit to open your eyes. Because when God speaks, it's already done. You don't hear what I'm saying to you. Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Father decreed it from eternity into time. And the Bible says that his word will not return to him void, but it shall accomplish that which he pleases. That's why Galatians 4:4 says that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son. When God spoke it, he put a time code that at this moment, at this time, the Lamb of God would be born. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? You say, well, why is that important? Because the Bible says that God called you from the foundation of the world. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying to you. But before he said, "Let there be light," he'd already decreed that you would be here for such a time as this. That means you're not here by accident. That means you have been born according to a purpose, his purpose. That means when he spoke your life into being, you have an assignment over your life. That's why hell's been fighting you. That's why the devil's been fighting you. Because you're not just somebody, you are his. And when you are his, that means he's already spoken a word that when the fullness of time has come, that prophecy, that word over your life shall come to pass. No devil in hell can stop it. That means you're dangerous to the camp of the enemy. That's why hell fights you. That's why hell tries to discourage you. That's why Paul said to fight the good fight of faith. There's a fight over your destiny. That means there are divine appointments for your life that hell fights you for, but hell cannot stop it. Kairos moments. How many know what a Kairos moment is? For those of you that don't, the Greeks had two ways of telling time. One was sequential time, 24 hours. The other they called Kairos. It means it was something that was unspoken, but it meant a time for action. You see, the scripture that I read to you was a Kairos moment. I believe you're here because of a Kairos moment. God is calling you to the greater. When God is calling you out of the ordinary to step into his grace and his purpose and his glory for something that you cannot even think or imagine. A Kairos moment. You see, everything in this text is moving. Do I have time to preach like I want to preach? Are you sure? Some people put their meat in the oven and they're like, I'm going to have a burnt offering if he preaches too long. Are you okay? You see, when you're being taught theology, they will teach you something called the law of first mention. In other words, if you are to preach a doctrine, you find the first time, the first place where that principle is mentioned. And then you follow the pattern of the word of God in order to establish doctrine. It's called the law of first mention. It is powerful then that when the first time the Holy Spirit is mentioned is in the book of Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the face of the deep. I say that to you because it's powerful. The first time they mention the Holy Spirit, he's moving. He's a moving spirit. Oh, I feel like preaching right now. He moves. He doesn't procrastinate. He moves. And if you have the Spirit of God within you, then he's moving you. He's moving you from faith to faith, from glory to glory. When you move with him, you move into that place where God says, "Now I'm going to do a supernatural work in your life." My dear a man of God that sowed into my life, a man of God that I had the honor of sitting with in Crusades, evangelist Reinhard Bonnke. He saw over 85 million souls come to Christ. And he would say to me, Nathan, God doesn't sit with sitters. He goes with goers. You see, God is calling you to move in this hour, to move with Him, to believe for the greater, for a breakthrough in your family, for a breakthrough in your region, for a breakthrough in your city, for a breakthrough in your nation. It's powerful that when Jesus comes, everything is moving, the multitude are pressing in, and Jesus does something that is powerful. The Bible says that He sees two boats, and He steps into one of the boats, called Simon Peter's. It's amazing how we see a boat, but Jesus saw a vessel that He turned into a platform. We see a boat. Jesus didn't see just a boat. He said, I'm going to turn the boat into a vessel in order to be a platform that I'm about to release the word to a multitude. See, I came to ask you a question this morning. Can He have your boat? Yes. You may just see a boat, but He sees a vessel. It's amazing what God can do with a vessel that allows Jesus to step in. And when He steps in, He makes that vessel His platform for His glory. Yes. Can I use your boat? Can I use your boat? You know, it's amazing in 2 Kings, the widow and the oil. The Bible says that when she couldn't find any more empty vessels, the oil ceased. The oil ceased. I'm praying that this house would be a vessel that will become His platform. It's not your platform, it's His platform. It's not even your church, it's His church. If you will say to God, God, take this, make this your platform, I promise you this, multitudes will hear the word of God. Can I use your boat? Can I use your business? Can I use your home? Can I use your marriage? Can I use your children? You see a boat, He sees a platform. It is amazing that Jesus tells him, take the vessel into the shallow. Take it into the shallow. See, there's a realm of revelation that you can get in the shallow. Jesus preaches a word to the multitude from the vessel, from the boat. It's now a platform for the Son of God. But He's in the shallow, and He's releasing a word to a multitude. It amazes me, because when I read the text, I got really annoyed for a second, because they said that Jesus preached, but they don't tell me what He preaches. If you tell me Jesus preached, tell me what He preached. Yes. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and said it wasn't about the preach. It was about the call. It was about the call, brother. It wasn't about a sermon. This was about something deeper than that. Jesus was about to change the destiny. Oh, you don't hear what I'm saying to you. This encounter was about to take somebody into the destiny, the reason why they were alive. You see, I go to churches all over the world, and there are some Christians, they want to live with one foot in the shallow and one foot on the shore. They don't want to get too far away from the shore that they can't go back to the safe place. Jesus called it being lukewarm, but anyway. But we want safe Christianity. We want Christianity where we can have one foot in what we know and one foot just in the boat with Jesus. But you see, you will never see the glory of God. You will never see the supernatural power of God while ever you want to live right at the shore. Peter, if you want to see who I've made you to be, launch out into the deep. Launch out into the deep. You see, the Bible says, the psalmist said, it is the deep that calls unto the deep. It's that voice that calls you to tell you there's more. Let me tell you, church, there's more realms of his glory we've not seen. There's more levels of his abundance that we've not seen. There's more glory to capture. There's more miracles to see. There's more, but you got to be willing to launch out into the deep. You got to be willing to abandon what you think you know and step in and say, God, I want to go into the deep with you. The scripture says that it is the Spirit of God that searches the deep things. Yes, the deep things of God. I don't know about you, but I want to live in the revelation of God. I want to live in his revelation, not mine. You know what God spent years in my life doing? Burning my plan B. Oh, you don't hear what I'm preaching to you right now. God spent years burning my bridges so I had no exit plan. He said, son, if you want to see my glory, then you better launch out into the deep. You better step into a place that you have no reserve. Is this too much for you this morning? Launch out into the deep. What amazes me is that what the disciples were doing, what Simon Peter was doing, the Bible says that he was repairing the nets. He was washing the nets. He was trying to clean up the mess of failure. Isn't it amazing when God's about to bring you a breakthrough, how sometimes we get distracted trying to fix something we were never supposed to fix? We're trying to clean up the mess when God says, I've come for your mess, but you got to be willing to yield and launch out into the deep. You see, they're trying to repair their nets. They're trying to mend their nets. And Jesus is saying, no. Forget the nets. I'm trying to take you into the deep. You know, one of my biggest shocks, I thought everybody wanted the power of God. I thought everybody wanted the fire of God. I thought everybody would love to see miracles. I was more shocked that when God started to use my life, the opposition wasn't the world. It was Christians. They said I had a devil. They said this, they said that. I was so shocked. I was so shocked. I thought everybody wanted to see the glory of God, but actually some of us want to live at the shore. We want to live in our own understanding. And you'll never understand the things of the Holy Spirit with your natural mind. You got to open up your heart. You got to say, Lord, I'm hungry for more. I'm willing to leave the shore. Take me into the deep, Holy Spirit. Do something that only you can do in my life. Well, brother, we didn't do this 50 years ago. Yes, you did. I remember my grandmother. They used to call them the Holy Rollers. They used to come into the presence of God. The power of God was so thick, they would fall on their knees. It's not new. It's in every generation the call comes. Are you willing to step out? Are you willing to press in? Are you willing to launch out in faith and say, Holy Spirit, take us into the deep. We want to see your glory. We want to see your glory. We want to see your glory. Is there anybody that's your prayer? You want the glory of God to fill your house, to fill your family. It is amazing that Jesus comes to the Sea of Galilee. Did you know that the Sea of Galilee is the lowest place? To the waterline, it is the lowest place on earth. Isn't it amazing how God, it's 750 feet below sea level. Isn't it amazing how Jesus comes to the lowest place in order to take him to the greatest height? You see, you're here this morning, you say, it's the wrong time of day. It's just the wrong time. You don't know what I'm going through, brother. You don't know what's happening in my family. I'm actually telling you, it's the perfect time. It's the lowest place that God reveals his greatest glory. You see, you may be going through a war, but that's the time that God says, now I'm going to reveal my glory. Last year, in the midst of preaching to 3.8 million people, I had an accident. I was thrown through a car window face first. It smashed my face. I had to have plastic surgery. I had over 160 stitches in my face. They took me for surgery, and while they took me in for surgery, they cut my carotid artery, and I began to bleed out on the bed. They brought me out of being sedated, and they said, listen, we got a major emergency. We think you're about to have a massive stroke. How many know that you pray different prayers at that time? You don't pray for a bigger house. You don't care how much money you have in the bank. The only thing that matters, you say, Lord, did I do everything you called me to be? Lord, was I a vessel that you were able to take into the deep of your waters, into the deep of your presence? It doesn't matter what car you have or what job you have. The only thing that matters is what counts for eternity. I prayed for my wife. I prayed for my team. I said, Lord, don't let them drop the baton. Don't let them drop the torch. May they preach this gospel. God spared my life. They brought me out. They said, we found something on your brain. If we don't open up your skull, you're going to die. And God said to me, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Because they cut my carotid artery, they had to give me 6 weeks in order for me to heal. And in that 6 weeks, one day I woke up out of a sleep, and the voice of God said to me, open my word right now. I opened his word to John chapter 1. It was when Jesus was calling Philip and Bartholomew. But in the Gospel of John, John doesn't call him Bartholomew. He calls him his first name, Nathanael. And Jesus says to Nathanael, before Philip called you, I saw you standing under the fig tree. He said, after this, you're going to see heaven opened. You're going to see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending. In other words, I felt like God was telling me, they didn't call you, I called you. And because you've gone through this, now I'm going to take you deeper. You see, I'm trying to preach to somebody right now. If you've gone through a trial, if you've gone through a fight, actually, God is going to turn the fight into a victory that actually launches you into the deep of his presence and his glory. There's an authority that comes out of a fight that nothing else can give you. Somebody say amen. Amen. Am I preaching too long? Isn't it amazing how we all pray for more? Lord, send us revival. Lord, give us more. I love it when Peter said, nevertheless, it's the wrong time. It's just simply the wrong moment. But nevertheless, at your word, I'm going to cast the net. You know when God gives you a breakthrough? When God gives you a breakthrough, you like to actually be so shocked that it causes your nets to nearly break. Actually, I found the greatest breakthroughs in my life stretched me to the point that I thought I was going to break.
Oh, you don't want me preaching that. Okay.
That actually, when God gives you a breakthrough, he stretches you. He's not stressing you to break you. Actually, the nets did not break. It says they were breaking. The harvest wasn't lost, but Jesus was stretching him in order to increase his capacity for more. You see, if you feel stretched, actually, it's God's way of giving you increase. You know, I was preaching at Oral Roberts University to 5,000 students, and I came out of that meeting and I'd had an invite to go to Nicaragua. Ortega, President Ortega, supernaturally, how God did this, we still don't know, but he invited me to preach the gospel. This is unheard of. I don't think he knew what was about to happen. But I came out of that service and I told the person, I said, listen, I'll pray about it. I did the Christian thing. I'll pray about it. So I'm coming out of the service and the Holy Spirit said to me, strike the ground now. And he reminded me of when the king comes to the prophet and he said, what about the children of Israel? And the prophet says, take the arrows and strike the ground. And the Bible says that he struck the ground 3 times. And the prophet said, if you would have struck 6 times, I would have given you a generational breakthrough. In other words, the king didn't strike with all of his heart. He missed the moment. God was saying, launch into the deep. And he just missed it. And I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, son, don't miss this moment. Strike with everything you have. I said to my team, cancel everything. Because this meant I would have to fly into Nicaragua every other week.
Preachers called me. They said, listen, you better have heard from God. Because if you'd not heard from God, you could get into deep, deep trouble. This could go wrong. I said, I know I've heard from God. So we go in there, and you saw what happened. But it was amazing because I needed $6 million. And when I said yes, I had a goose egg, yeah. How many know that's perfect for God? It's amazing that when God says launch into the deep, it seems like it's the wrong time of day. I don't know who I'm preaching to right now, but when your circumstances tell you it's the wrong time, you better open up the ears of your understanding, because God is saying now it's time. You see, as soon as I said yes, God brought a businessman. He paid $6 million, paid for everything of the Crusades, and we saw one of the greatest harvests of souls in modern day. Somebody ought to give God a mighty shout of praise. You see, what I'm trying to tell you is this. What I found is this, that when you walk in obedience, God changes your waterline. You see, what I used to call deep is a paddling pool today. You don't hear what I'm saying to you. What I used to call deep, I now tip my toes in it. What I call deep today, I'm like, Lord, I'm about to break. I'm about to sink. Help me, Jesus. And Jesus is like, that's exactly where I need you. You see, what the Holy Spirit is trying to do with this church is change your water line. Moving here was deep. But in 2 years' time, this won't be deep. It will be shallow. Because God is moving you from faith to faith, from glory to glory. He's increasing your measure because you obeyed and said, Lord, we're willing. Take this vessel. Make it your platform. Take us into the deep. Take us into the deep. You know what I found? If you're willing to step out with God, He will bring you divine connections. Because your harvest will not be wasted. It is amazing how Jesus made sure that those sons of Zebedee, they were ready. And in the right time, He brought their vessels. Peter had to be willing to launch alone. But when he launched alone, Jesus said, I've got backup. I've got divine appointments. I've got divine connections. They're going to bring you the resources. They're going to bring you what you need. This harvest will not be wasted. Now that you've obeyed, I'm going to show you supernatural provision. You know, for my first crusade, I needed $12,000. There was a woman in my daddy's church. She was a missionary. She was a widow. One day she was washing the dishes, and the Holy Spirit said to her, give to Nathan that which I have placed in your hands. She didn't know why. This was my first gospel crusade. I was believing God. I went to my father. I said, Dad, I'm going to preach my first crusade. I need $12,000. He looked at me. He said, well, son, we're going to see whether you're called. I was hoping he would go to the elders and ask for a check, but he didn't do that. He actually said, well, we're going to see whether you're called. And then he said, what you can do instead is lead the prayer meeting. I was like, well, I'll lead the prayer meeting, but God, I need it. Right at the beginning of that prayer meeting, this faithful woman, I can see her now in the same seat every week. Faithful. As she came, she put an envelope. She said, the Holy Spirit told me to give you this. And in my heart, I thought, God bless her. There's probably like 20 bucks, you know. No, I was appreciative. No. I was appreciative. But I need $12,000. I'm in the deep. I'm going to sink. And before I did the prayer meeting, I thought, I need to open the envelope just to thank her. I open it. And it's a check for $10,000. $10,000. Within 24 hours, people started putting envelopes through my letterbox at home. Didn't even know. I wasn't making appeals. But they were putting, God told me to give you this. I didn't have $12,000. I had $15,000. Now I had more than enough. I never looked back from that day. I remember I was in Latvia. I was preaching in the arena. And in the arena, the pastor said to me, he said, listen, evangelist, will you take the offering? I said, listen, you don't want me to take the offering. I'm the worst offering taker. I just start preaching and I forget to do it. He said, no, I really feel you need to do it. So I said, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to say? He said, tell the story of Beryl. Her name was Beryl. He said, tell the story about her faithfulness launched a ministry that would reach to millions. And that when she stands there on that day, everything that you have seen will be also accounted to her. Oh, I feel like preaching. And I stood up and I told that story. When I come out of the arena, my father called me and he said, Nathan, how was the service? I said, oh, it was awesome, Dad. He said, listen, I wondered whether to do this, but I just have to do it. He said, listen, tonight at 8 p.m., Beryl went to be with Jesus. At exactly that moment, I was telling her story. I'd never told that publicly. It was as if the Holy Spirit said, before I take her, what she did in secret, I'm going to make known before all men. What she did in the secret place, you're going to bear witness of it before I lift her into glory. You see, I look back at them times and that was deep. Now I need millions of dollars, but the same principle matters. That step of obedience. I'm trying to encourage you this morning. God will ask you to do the simple thing. It might be just to share the gospel with your neighbor, share the gospel with your coworker. It might be to sow into some place. Do it, because when you do, he'll launch you into the deep. You know, I'm going to finish in a moment, but on the day of Pentecost, it had to be Peter that preached. It had to be. It could be nobody else, only Peter. He was the one that launched into the deep. And because of his obedience, Jesus said, now I'll make you a fisher of men. The first time the gospel would be preached, it had to be Peter. It had to be him, because he was the one that launched into the deep. He was the one that was obedient to launch into a place and be obedient to cast his net. And now that revelation was his. Preach, Peter, preach. And 3,000 souls are saved. You know, when I get to heaven, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to run up to Peter after I've worshiped Jesus. I'm going to run to Peter and say, Peter, just this is just one question I have. How many fish were in the net? 3,000 souls. Could it be that there were 3,000 fish in that net? Could it be that because of his obedience to launch into the deep, that God gave him a revelation so supernatural that now it would bring a supernatural harvest? You see, I want to tell some grandmas and some grandfathers, what you're contending for right now may be not just for you. It may be the revelation of your children and your children's children, that they will walk in a harvest that you contended for, that you believe for. You're not just launching in the deep for you. You're launching in the deep for your children's children. This church is here, not just for now. It's for the generations, God willing, before he returns, that shall be saved. Because there was a people that believed God to go deeper. I want to just finish with this. There are miracles that are yet to be revealed. And as a church, I pray that you will not live near the shore of safety, but you will launch out into the depths of his glory. I feel like God is going to use a business owner here to fund the harvest. I don't know who you are, but I see a businessman right now. Is there somebody here that you produce something for farming, like a something to do with agriculture, that you own a company that produces for agriculture? Is there anybody here, or is that just me? There's nobody here? Huh. Are you sure? Father, I give you praise in Jesus' name.
If you're a business owner, just raise your hand right now. I want to pray, Lord, I pray for every business owner in this place. That, Lord, you would give them revelation. That, Lord, this church will see a harvest that is funded because of your people. Lord, I thank you for multiplication in Jesus' name. Somebody give God a mighty shout of praise. I just want the worship team to come quickly right now. Could it be this morning that God wants to release his glory in your life and your family like never before? I feel like the Holy Spirit sent me here as a commissioning service to commission you to go deeper with him. That there's a breakthrough for your family. There's a breakthrough for this church. There's a breakthrough for this region. Alvin, Lord, in Jesus' name, make it a place where your glory rests. Make this a place where souls are multiplied in Jesus' mighty name. If you're hungry this morning for more of God, I want you to stand to your feet and just lift your hands. I know I've preached for a long time, but I pray this morning that you would get that revelation that there is a call on this house to go deeper, to believe for greater, to see God touch this region with his glory. Can you believe with me for that right now by lifting your hands? Come on, let's lift our voices all over this room. Spirit of the living God, we pray that you would fall afresh in this place. I pray, Lord, open our eyes, open our ears. We want to see a greater glory in our lives. Jesus, I pray for faith to arise in this place, that we would go from the shallow and we will launch into the deep of your presence, the deep of your glory, the deep of your word. There's a deeper revelation for every one of our hearts this morning. We press into you. We press into you, Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray, let your fire fall. Let your fire fall on the altar of our hearts. Let your fire fall on the altar of our hearts. In Jesus' name, I pray it. Fill us with your presence. Fill us with your glory.